And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Wednesday, February 17, 2021. A good afternoon to you. Hopefully you're staying warm. And if you're dealing with snow and ice wherever you are in the U.S., if you're not used to that, hopefully you're doing okay. I know a lot of folks being affected here this week by winter weather that normally aren't affected. So happy to have you joining us here today for another edition of Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. That's our home on the web. You can find our social media there. You can find all of our radio partners there as well. And a lot of great stuff online at markettalkag.com. Well, the markets came back in Tuesday really strong. Today, a little more mixed, a little more of a subdued tone. Let's talk about it. Let's bring in our good friend John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson on today. John, good to have you on a Wednesday. I know you're pinch hitting here, and we flipped some days, so great to have you on today.
Not a problem. Glad to help you out. I know it's been a very difficult situation, especially in the South with the storms and things. And I feel for those people. A lot of things are working through down there, especially in areas that just aren't used to that type of weather. You know, we can sit here and talk about the northern tier. You know, we're actually a little excited. We finally might push 20 degrees today for the first time in about 3 weeks, it feels like. So, but again, you know, take care out there, people, and make sure you're taking care of those animals and the equipment at the same time.
Yeah, it's definitely a shock to folks in the South. You know, I'm in Nashville, and you know, entire city shut down basically, you know, for a couple inches of snow. And being from Iowa and being a northerner, I mean, that to me, you know, we're used to it. But we, you know, definitely have thinking about those folks and what they're dealing with, and we know they'll get through it. Let's talk markets here today, John. Let's jump into things. And you know, we got in Tuesday, really strong day in this market, and then we turn around today and pretty weak. Wheat was pressured pretty heavily today with temperatures starting to moderate. I know corn, late surge in corn and beans finished right around that unchanged mark. What did you see in this market trade on the grain side today?
Well, let's go ahead and get started with that wheat market. And, you know, that was probably the biggest influence on the market on both days so far here is just what, you know, we had the hard sell-off, or excuse me, the hard rise on prices on Tuesday with obviously the cold temperatures pushing well down into the winter wheat belt, you know, that upper teens to 20 cent climb there. Now we gave most of that back today. As you said, temperatures again forecasting to moderate, and you know, it takes a little bit more than one day to kill the wheat crop, and then so that saw some profit taking come in today as well. You know, plus at the same time we saw a strong move in the U.S. dollar today. We got some economic news that was talking a little bit more inflationary, and that saw the dollar kind of break out from a correction, you know, point here this morning. And so that also came into that wheat market as well. So there's a lot of things kind of going on in wheat right now. Overall, you're talking a price that, you know, at least held some support. Now we're back retesting those supports. We'll have to see how things kind of come together here in the next handful of weeks overall in that market. Obviously, any type of winter kill, things of that nature, we won't know until we get out of dormancy, and that's still going to be a little ways away in that regard. So, but that's really been kind of the driver or the anchor, I would say, the last couple of days has been that wheat market. And realistically, you just stated, corn and beans performed fairly well today. You know, they shook off some of that early selling pressure and actually got back to mixed or slightly higher trade at the close here today. So, you know, we're still looking at a market in the greens that has some upside potential in it, at least in terms of corn and beans here in the near term. But a lot of things still on the radar here over the next couple of weeks that keep us a little bit concerned on the market in general.
Let's talk about some of those concerns. And I would think maybe one of the first, you know, benchmarks here we got ahead of us, that outlook form with USDA's tomorrow. And I think everyone is very curious to see some of those preliminary numbers and guesstimates, we'll call it, on acreage for 2021. And wondering, is that going to be something that if we get a rather large number, larger than expected, is that going to be a big mover of this market, or is it still a little too early to be thinking about acreage numbers and solidifying things?
Well, you got a market that's got a lot of volatility, a lot of length in it. So realistically, any number that might be a little bit above the expectations, and really there aren't any going into this report. You know, everybody's got their darts thrown at a board what the acre number might be. You know, so we'll just basically look at some budgetary numbers that'll put some first-time carryout projections into 21. if they are a little high, wouldn't shock me that we see this market pull back off of that. You know, it's acted as a bit of a wet blanket in the past. And, you know, again, like I said, you got a market that, especially in the core market, is still sitting extremely long in fund positioning, well over the 380,000 contract level, you know, still well above where we typically are this time of year. And that's one of those things that makes me cautious, is just the calendar and where we are and kind of how the market has lost its upward momentum here. And maybe we see some pullback as the funds clean up some of that length to set themselves up for another chance to run it out in the summertime, whether the supplies tighten up either more so or we get some weather. You know, that USDA report last week, we talked about it last Thursday, you know, really kind of kept the supply picture a little bit more comfortable. And that really we saw is taking away kind of the upward momentum here in the corn market as we move maybe into a bit of a more sideways range bound type trade.
Well, and I'm wondering as well, you know, with China out for the Lunar New Year holiday this week, or trade on a holiday shortened week, we haven't seen a whole lot in the way of sales on that daily wire. And I'll be curious to see some of the export numbers as well for the week. I mean, you know, we expected this. We expected a little bit of pullback with China out of the market. And I'm just wondering if, you know, looking ahead, do we expect China to step back into this market and help give us some more bullish momentum? Is there anything like that on the horizon you're seeing right now?
Well, it's still going to come down to value and what's out there in terms of the price of U.S. corn versus the rest of the world. And, you know, we're going to start seeing some Argentina supply start building here as they're getting closer and closer to harvest. That's going to start putting some pressure on their prices that will weigh on ours. And, you know, this is a historical window. Usually we stay sideways to higher into the very first part of March. And then you go start looking at the seasonal trends, typically in July corn, about the 4th of March to about the 25th of April. You go look at 35-year, 15-year charts, it's a downtrending window. So, again, some of that's being pressured by the South American harvest and the supplies coming in and competing against our prices. At the same time, too, it's just kind of a window where we're kind of out of the old news. We're getting ready for the new news in terms of new crop and planting and things of that nature. And the market just hits a bit of a lull. And, again, that's something that has me kind of concerned as I've, you know, been talking with customers about that. We've been maybe pushing a couple of sales in here, putting some puts underneath the market, just in case type scenarios, not spending a lot under them. But, you know, we've been pretty bullish since basically August. So it's time to maybe flatten that out a little bit here. Not that I'm giving up my longer term objectives. I still think we got more room in this market to go, but it just might take a little bit here unless all of a sudden we do get some of that positive news. I mean, if China comes back into the market here at the end of the week and they look at U.S. corn, still think it's a value, and they step in and buy a chunk, you know, everything kind of goes out the door again in terms of where things go as that supply pile starts to tighten up and this market wants to ration demand.
You talk about getting some puts under the market, not spending a ton on them, but getting some puts there and maybe making some sales. And we always talk about this. We got to remember these price levels are very, very good. And there's got to be a lot of return on investment here, that ROI, that profit for your operation. And I would think that if you still got some sales to make right now, or at least getting some protection underneath you, would be the smart thing to do. That's kind of what it sounds like. You would agree with that, John?
You know, we got to stay disciplined. And yeah, I agree with that. You know, there's some good numbers out there. And, you know, I had a few conversations with guys this week, and, you know, their basis is friendly. They're looking at $5 plus old crop corn. You know, and I'm saying clean out the bins here, but, you know, build your base a little bit more, build your average a little bit in this window. You've held it this far, reward yourself here. There's a lot of just in case scenarios. I mean, there's still some things going on in terms of the equity markets that make me extremely nervous. You know, today we got producer price index came out, one of the largest jumps in over almost two decades in terms of inflationary measures. You know, stock market sold off a little bit on that this morning and then shook it off. You know, there's going to be a correction coming somewhere in these markets, and it makes me a little bit nervous. But if we wake up one of these weeks and all of a sudden the stock market decides to pull 10 to 15% out, that's going to come into the grain markets. You take 10% off of corn, that's 50 cents. So again, having some of that, just some baseline protection for the what-if scenarios, still got the bushels, that's your upside on that regard. You know, or if you do make the sales and you just want to keep a little in, you go out and buy some out of the money calls and don't spend a lot on them, but still something to at least give you some availability going forward.
Well, John, let's flip over to livestock. I want to talk this cattle market here today. You know, we saw a good strong day in cattle and hogs on Tuesday coming out of that 3-day holiday weekend. And then, you know, today we come in here and this entire livestock market lower across the board. I know there's some concern in feedlot country with the weather and some of those carcass weights, et cetera, et cetera. But I was a little surprised at the drop in the cattle futures today, just with how grain was struggling. Is there something that I'm not seeing there, or that, you know, producers might not be seeing there we need to look at?
Well, a couple things kind of came to light today. Well, first off, the hog and the cattle markets have been overbought. We've seen really good money flow. Funds are about long 80,000 contracts in terms of live cattle. Hogs are pushing into the, you know, 50,000 window, and we've seen that move very aggressively here over the last handful of weeks. So it was getting to a point where we could see a correction come in. So obviously that was the first thing that was kind of weighing. I really didn't like the price action in hogs yesterday. Cattle was kind of an okay day, but it was softening towards the end. And then we saw that follow through. Biggest thing that kind of came into light today too was the Fed Cattle Exchange tried to trade today. It was actually very disappointing. You know, we saw a range from 111 to 113. That was well below last week's numbers. No trade actually occurred. So obviously, if we got a market that's holding a pretty good premium to a potential cash market that looks softer, that also brought some selling out as well. Now we'll see what happens in terms of the countryside as, you know, the retail values in the carcass on the beef carcasses stay strong. You know, so it's a combination of two things going to happen in terms of cash trade. The drop in the futures gives the packers a little bit more strength in their eyes. The strength in retail market prices or the wholesale beef prices gives the feedlot a little more resolve. And then obviously you throw in the weather. You know, that's been a factor. We're watching the slaughter numbers obviously being decreased this week as we're seeing some difficulty in cattle country getting product moved and getting these cattle to the packing plants. So does that back things up? And that also brings some pressure into the market. So it's kind of a little bit of a perfect storm, a lot of little things hitting here today that caused that break in prices. Then on top of that, you saw hog market kind of fall apart finally in that April contract. And so the tone in the market there in the livestock sector today was profit taking overall. Do have to watch, got cattle on feed on this week on Friday as well. So that'll be something that's on the radar. And again, another reason we see some squaring up maybe going into those numbers.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I'd forgotten about the cattle on feed report on Friday, so that definitely makes sense. And you know, you mentioned that cash trade, and I saw that as well today too. Kind of disappointing, and I know that we've been trying to push this cash number a little bit higher. We've been asking, you know, about a dollar or two more here every week for the last month or so, and it just we can't seem to quite get to that level. I think we've topped out probably about 115, 116 has been the highest we've gone on the live cattle side, John.
Yeah, and that's still, you know, that was the asking point again this week was get 16, maybe possibly 17. I did see a little bit of Texas trade last night at 114. So again, obviously disappointing in that regard. Still nothing really developed this week. Probably will hold off until the end of the week and maybe even after the cattle on feed report. We'll have to see, you know, how the prices kind of shake out from here, you know, but again, we've been watching the biggest thing that still comes into play that still gives the packer that fodder to hold prices down, which has been these carcass weights, and they've been heavy. We're running about, you know, 15 to 18 pounds over last year, and so that's a lot of product going into the cooler when the slaughter pace is still where it is. Now, this weather may have an impact. I'm going to really watch those numbers here over the next few days and going into next week. You know, this is obviously going to, when we get cold like this, and then you throw the snow into the mix. These cattle are eating and not growing. They're maintaining, you know, so that can push them back a little bit and bring some of these weights down. And that's probably going to be the last thing we need to maybe get this market to start to trigger a little bit more, that, you know, the packers don't have as much strength because the product size, the amount of production that we're putting on a weekly level is still relatively high.
And when you mentioned the hog market, let's move there. And that April contract did kind of fall apart today. And it seems like, you know, we've been waiting for that other shoe to drop in this hog market. And if you look at the charts, are you seeing this more as the long-term correction finally, since we've been at, you know, such a premium to the cash index once April took the front month?
Yeah, you know, when April's up there pushing $10 over the cash index, we're still $9 even after today's weakness and the strength that we saw in the index today. You know, realistically, it's the April contract that's the most overvalued. If you look at the deferreds, you know, we have mild losses, 25, 30 cents lower. Even some of the deferred contracts had slight gains today. You know, so it was just really that stretch out of the April that was probably due for the correction. And it started yesterday with the just basically what we call an inside day. We didn't trade above or below the previous day's high and low, and it was just a consolidation day, slowing the momentum. And then so with that, even with the strength in the retail carcasses here this afternoon, you know, profit taking ensued and put pressure on that April contract, which, you know, with the index at 75 and April hog still pushing in the mid-80s, you know, there's still some room for it to go.
Well, John, overall, I know we talked inflation as well in these markets, and a lot of the outside, the macro factors we're watching. And I know crude oil jumped up above $61 a barrel here again, and it's kind of been around that mark. Is that something you're watching as well, factoring into everything, as that crude oil market starts to inch a little bit higher?
You know, we got through the 60 barrier. That's pretty huge in terms of, you know, the technical side of things. And realistically, you know, now we're watching, obviously, some influence from the weather causing some spike in some of the energy prices. That's helping support crude overall. It is definitely a factor. You know, I talked about that producer price index. Energy is a big factor in that, as we've seen crude oil prices climb, obviously putting on, you know, extra cost into the production of material goods. So, you know, crude, though, when it carries over, should help out the ethanol market, should help out the corn market, as well as the bean market, you know, because of just some of the energy ties in those markets overall. So keeping an eye on crude will definitely be something we watch. You know, as this economy starts getting more opened up, as we get more vaccinations into people's arms and maybe get through some of the more COVID issues, it takes time for the U.S. oil industry to get those rigs up and running. You know, so that puts pretty good upward pressure on that crude oil market. Just from the pure standpoint that demand might outstrip the supply side of the equation. So, you know, we're kind of optimistic where crude prices could go going forward. You know, producers, make sure you're taking a look at your diesel and things of that nature for the spring. Make sure you're getting some, you know, protect yourself a little bit there. It might be time to get some things locked in. You know, I haven't looked at prices in recently, but we've really seen some good trends higher in those levels. But that price action could continue as we go further into 2021.
John, any thoughts on the dairy market before we run out of time today?
Yeah, dairy market continues to disappoint. I was actually on the phone with the producer right before I got on the podcast here with you today. And you know, we just can't seem to get any traction in that cheese market. We still got a lot of supply. We are still seeing the food service side starting to tick up a little bit. So that's at least encouraging. Maybe we've put our low in and now we're kind of consolidating, building a bit of an uptrend. You know, I can't even, today's action, cheese prices were lower. We sold off hard, but all of a sudden we just kind of saw the milk price lift off those lows. So maybe that's an area that's showing us that, you know, the sellers are drying up. It's still a very hard market, though, for producers. We're still dealing with the PPDs and some pullbacks off of those prices when the cash check arrives. It's real kind of hard to handle right now, but still got to look at what value is, where you can work on some value, and what we can do with it going forward in terms of protecting your checkbook.
Well, John, I know producers can reach out to you and the team at Total Farm Marketing if they need a little help. I know you guys got a lot of great resources for them, both online and with a phone call.
Yeah, if you'd love to chat with them anytime, feel free to give me a call at 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, use that totalfarmmarketing.com as our website. Take a look at some of the resources we have there. Recently just had some webinars regarding that last USDA report, as well as there's constantly some webinars being put together by the dairy team. So take a look at some of that information. And like I said, if you've got questions, feel free to reach out.
John, appreciate the time. As always, thanks for joining us here today. Stay warm, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a great week, everybody, and stay safe.
John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. This has been the Wednesday, February 17th edition of the show. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you –